this week's Parsha, and also in Parshat Truma, we are told of the mitzvah to build the Aron Kodesh. It's told in Parshat Truma and Perek Chafhei. It's told in Parshat Vayakel in Perek Lamed Zayin. And there are many, many ideas that come from the Aron, many messages. And I want to focus specifically on one piece of the Aron, and that is the Kruvim. The Torah tells us that you have to build these Kruvim, and we're told in Parsha Truma, it's told again in our Parsha. And how do you build the Kruvim? I'm going to start in our Parsha, in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. Vaya'a shnei Kruvim zahav miksha asa otam mishnei ktsot hakaporet. Kruv echad mikatsa mizeh, kruv echad mikatsa mizeh min hakaporet, asa et hakruvim mishnei ktsotav. Vayihiyu hakruvim porsei chnafayim lema'ala sochechim, from the word schach. Sochechim b'chanfehem ala kaporet, ufnehem ish el achiv. El hakaporet hayu pnei hakruvim. This pasuk, which was also said very similarly in Parshat Truma, we find out that the faces of these kruvim, fnehem el achiv, el hakaporet yiyu pnei hakruvim, facing each other and down towards the kaporet. That's very good, but you all are familiar with a stira, or a supposed contradiction in the psukim, because we have in Sefer Divrei Hayamim Perek Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Navi tells us Kanfei Hakruvim Haele Porsim Amot Esrim, huge, Vehem Omdim Al Raglehem Ufnehem Labait. Now the context there, the bayit means the heichal, the bayit means the kodesh. But it means that they were not facing each other. Here we have kruvim, so it seems to be a contradiction. Are they facing each other, or are they facing away from each other? Says the Gemara, which many of you know, Gemara in Baba Batra, towards the middle of the first page, the Torah says, Pnehem ish el achiv, haktiv ufnehem labait. Contradiction, lo kasha. Kan bizman she Yisrael osim ritzono shel makom. Kan bizman she ein Yisrael osim ritzono shel makom. The Navi Gemara tell us a miracle in the first Beit HaMikdash when Bnei Yisrael were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They faced each other. When they were doing things that Hashem didn't like, they were faced away from each other. I think we're all familiar with this Gemara. Now at least we can see the stira inside and the resolution of the Gemara. And I want to ask a general question, but I want to ask a little bit more specific. Why, of all places in the Beit HaMikdash, in all places in the Mishkan, why were the Kruvim, the locus, the location and center for the message of Bizman She Yisrael Osin Ritzono Shel Makom, or Bizman She Yisrael She'ein Yisrael Osin Ritzono Shel Makom? Why was it the Kruvim that gave us that message? Why wasn't the Aron's Badim turned backwards or forwards? Why wasn't the Mizbach HaKetoret taller, shorter, higher corners? I don't know what the message is. Why the Kruvim? But I want to ask another question as well. Another question comes from Parshat Truma, Perek Chaf Hei, towards the bottom of the first page. Says Hashem, when he is telling Moshe to build the Aron, V'no'adti lecha sham, that's going to be where I'm going to meet you. V'dibarti itcha me'ala kaporet mi'bein shnei akruvim, Asher al Aron ha'idut et kol asher atzaveh utcha el b'nei Yisrael. We find out in Parsha Truma, this Aron that we're building then, and we're building in our Parsha, is the place where we connect to God. And isn't it, and God says He's going to connect to us. And isn't it strange that of all the symbols in the Mikdash, the one that is seemingly chas v'shalom, but seemingly idols, it's pictures of angels, children, boy, girl, wings, and it's davka there. Why didn't Hashem come inside the Aron, where the Torah was, the man was, other things? Why didn't Hashem speak on the Mizbeach, outer Mizbeach, inner Mizbeach, the menorah, the shulchan? But of all places, it's the one that seems closest to the danger zone. Why do we have kruvim like that in the first place? And why specifically is it there that Hashem speaks to us? And I have one more problem. And it is the bottom of the page. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Katina. Amar Rav Katina. Bisha'a shehayu Yisrael olin laregel. Megalalin lahem et haparochet. You should know that when people used to make aliyah laregel, and you came from all over Israel, and it's a very hard journey, one of the things that we want is to inspire the Jewish people. You're not just coming to watch people, you're coming to meet Hashem, greet Hashem, so to speak, interact with people. And so what they used to do for most of us, who are not Kohanim, or not Levim, and we don't live in Yerushalayim, right next to the Beit HaMikdash, we don't see that much that goes on in the Mikdash. So Rav Katina says that when Bnei Yisrael used to go Aliyah LaRegel, Megalalin Lahem Et HaParochet, the Parochet that existed in the first Beit HaMikdash, it didn't happen in the second. The second Beit HaMikdash, there was no Parochet, it was a wall. But in the first Beit HaMikdash, they used to roll away the Parochet and open up the gates, and you could look all the way in through the Ulam, through the Heichal, all the way to the Kodesh Kodashim. Umar'in lahem et ha'kruvim. You could even see the kruvim. Shehayu me'urim zebazeh. They used to be me'urim zebazeh. We'll see what that means in a minute. Ve'omrim lahem. And we would tell them, the Kohanim, when we pull away the curtains and see the kruvim, me'urim, whatever that means, we'll see in 2 seconds. And we would say to them, Re'u chibatchem lifnei ha'makom. Kechibat zachar unekeva. Hashem loves you just like a man loves a woman or vice versa. And Rashi says, divrei matchil hakruvim, medubakim zebaze. They were clinging together. Ve'ochazim, they held each other. Umechabkim zeze, they were hugging each other. Even more than what we saw in the earlier Gemara. Kizachar Hachovek et hanakeva. It's a hug. The word me'urin comes from the word erva. They were hugging each other. Man and woman. And that was the symbol of how much Hashem loves us. We have that throughout Chazal. We have that throughout Tanakh. Shir Hashirim is a story in its face value of the love that a man has for a woman. It's not really about that. It's really about Hashem and Bnei Yisrael and the beautiful historical love story between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. But we come all the way from Beit Shemesh and Manana and Be'er Sheva and Eilat, and we walk all the way and we roll it off and we say, oh, what a beautiful sight. A man and a woman hugging each other in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Right where Hashem's voice comes out of, on top of the Aron Kodesh, in the Kodesh HaKodashim. And if you are amazed at such a sight, why would Hashem, if you're asking yourself, why would Hashem choose that place to choose something very private, something very adult? You're not the only one who's amazed. Look at the bottom of the first page. Amareish Lakish Bisha'ash and Nichnasu Nachrim Lahechal. When the Churban Rachman and Islan happened and people went into the Mikdash, Ra'u kruvim ha-me'urim ze ba-zeh. They saw the male and female, so to speak, on top of the Aron Kodesh, hugging each other. Hotzi'un la-shuk. They were taken out into the marketplace. V'yamru. And this is how they made fun of Bnei Yisrael. Yisrael halalu. Shebirchatan bracha. These Jews, I'll add in, whose bracha used to mean something. Ukilatan klala. Ya'asku b'divarim halalu. Miyad hizilum. They were made fun of. This is a joke. The Aron Kodesh was turned into a joke. Shene'emar kol mechabadeha hiziluha. All those people who used to honor Yerushalayim, hiziluha, from the word zol, cheapened her. Kira'u ervata. That's what the pasuk means. They saw the erva, so to speak, the hugging on the Aron Kodesh. It became a joke. And while part of us, part of each one of us, is particularly pained by the Churban, another piece of us is asking a simple question. It does seem to be inappropriate. We're not going to make fun of it. We're not going to cheapen it. But we have to ask the respectful question, why? Why was it the Kruvim that were hugging each other and we praised it and they laughed at it? It does seem to be a little bit out of place. You want to talk about it, give it to our Torah, I understand, but you want to put it on the Aron Kodesh, in the Kodesh Kadashim, and you praise it. It's very hard to understand. Turn the page over, please. You'll see the Rambam in his Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam in his Mor Nevuchim says it is clear that the belief in the existence of angels is connected with the belief in the existence of God. And the belief in God and angels leads to the belief in prophecy and in the truth of the law. In order to firmly establish this creed, I'm on line 3, God commanded the Jews to make over the ark the form of 2 angels. The belief in the existence of angels is thus inculcated into the minds of the people. And this belief is in importance next to the belief in God's existence. It leads us to believe in prophecy and the Torah. And it opposes idolatry. If there had been only one figure of a kruv, the people would have been misled and would have mistaken it for God's image, which was to be worshipped in the fashion of the heathen. Or they might have assumed that the angel was also a deity in addition to God, and would thus have adopted a dualism. There's 2 gods. By making the 2 kruvim and distinctly declaring the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, Moshe clearly proclaimed the theory of the existence of a number of angels. He left no room for the error of considering those figures as deities, since he declared that God is one and that he is the creator of the angels who are more than one. That's the Rambam. It helps us understand the original question of why would we have kruvim that are so close, seemingly, to Avodah Zarah. It turns out they're not close at all, according to the Rambam. But he still doesn't help us answer the question from the Gemara in Yuma, why would God choose the image of the hugging man and woman? The laughter, unfortunately, of the non-Jews, we can understand. We too don't understand it. To answer that question, we have to take a step back. The Aron and the Kruvim were in the Kodesh HaKodashim. What is that? What is the Kodesh HaKodashim? And if I could ask, what is the difference between Kodesh and Kodesh Kodashim? It's either holy or not holy. There's holy and really holy. It could be understood in halachic terms that a Kohen or the Kohen Gadol regularly go into the Kodesh, but the Super Kodesh only once a year, Kohen Gadol. But what does it mean philosophically? And to help us answer that question, in the middle of the second page, I'd like to read to you from the Arot HaKodesh of Cook. And he says the following. Yesh olam shel chol ve'olam shel kodesh olamim shel chol ve'olamim shel kodesh ha'olamim sotrim zeh et zeh. These two worlds, these two concepts contradict each other. Where there is kodesh, there can be no chol. Where there is chol, there can be no kodesh. That makes sense. But Rav Kook says the following, Kedarko Bakodesh, a pretty common theme by him on the third line. Kamuvan, says Rav Kook, Hastirahi Sobyektivit. It's really not an objective, essential definition. It's only subjective. Ha'adam, man, humans, Behasagato HaMetzumtzemet, with his little ability to understand, the smartest person in the world also cannot fully understand this. His constricted knowledge. Eino yachol lefasher bein hakodesh uvein hachol. He can't make. A pshara means a compromise. Mayim poshrim means lukewarm. It's a little bit cold, a little bit. He can't make sense of it. He can't put it together. So humans say there's kodesh and there's chol. That makes sense. Ve'eino yachol lehashvot et stiroteim, and a human cannot see, cannot figure out, cannot solve the contradiction. But in reality, hein omnam meyushavot berum olam. In the heavens, there is no contradiction. B'machon kodesh hakodashim. In that place, called the kodesh hakodashim, that is the only physical place where we're able to see kodesh and chol, so to speak, really just being human constructs. They're optical illusions. There really is no difference. There really is no difference between objective kodesh and objective chol. Everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything has kedusha. It is true. On our low level, on our physical level, because of this world in general, or this generation, or these generations in general, we can't. And so there's kodesh, and there's chol, and there's tameh, and there's tahor. But in reality, says Rav Kook, kodesh and not kodesh are all from God. Everything's kodesh. And it is only in the kodesh HaKodashim where these two live side by side. Where these two live side by side. Perhaps that is the reason, for example, why it was the Kohen Gadol and only the Kohen Gadol who was able to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim. He doesn't say this, I'm saying this, but I think it may be true. Take a look at the next Gemara in Yuma Daf Yud Chet. V'yakohen from Parshat Emor, V'yakohen HaGadol Me'echav, says the Gemara, how is this man bigger, better, greater than his peers? Sheyehei gadol me'echav b'koach. He's got to be stronger. More muscles. This is the Kohen Gadol we're talking about. Benoi. What does noi mean? Physical beauty. The Kohen Gadol has to be attractive? B'chochmah, I can understand. B'osher? Whatever happened to the pious, regular Kohen Gadol? Regular person? No, he ain't no regular person. He's stronger. He's good looking. He's wise. He's wealthy. Why? Because in the other world, in the rest of the world that you and I know of, those things are not necessarily valued. They're valued as tools for something else. But the Kohen Gadol, who's going to go in the Kodesh HaKodashim, he is going to be able to merge things, physical and non-physical. They're all the same. He is the only one who can merge these concepts without a skewed worldview. It's very similar to the next Gemara. The next Gemara says in Masechet Brachot Daf Nun Zayin Amud Bet The Torah says, "Vayomer Hashem la shnei goyim bevitnech, al tikrei goyim ele geyim." Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Elu Antoninus v'Rebi. Shnei goyim, shnei geyim, two good friends, leaders, one Jewish, one not Jewish. Rebbe is Rav Yehuda Hanasi. The most important figure in Torah Sheba'al Peh. The lifeguard of Torah Sheba'al Peh. You know what we say about Rebbe? Shelo pasak mishulchanam. They were so wealthy. In days 2,000, I don't know, 18, 1,700 years before the invention of refrigeration. 1,800 years before refrigeration. Lo pasak mishulchanam, lo tznon, v'lo chazer, v'lo kishuim, lo b'yemot ha'chama, v'lo b'yemot ha'gishamim. In today's world with refrigeration, refrigerated trucks and refrigerated stores, you can buy a pineapple 12 months a year in most of the places you come from. You can buy strawberries 12 months a year. But it go back to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He was so wealthy that he had fruit and vegetables, fresh fruit and vegetables around his table, on his table, around the year. That's exceedingly wealthy. The Gemara elsewhere says that he was so wealthy that the man who worked in his stable was richer than a Persian king. The man who worked in Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi's stable was richer than a Persian king. And yet, look at the Gemara Masechet Ketuvot, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. Bishat Ptirato Shel Rebbe. When Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi died, Zakaf, he stretched out Eser etzbeotav klape mala. He stuck out his 10 fingers while he was dying. If you're ever going to be honest in your life, this is the time to do it. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, one of the wealthiest men in Jewish history, sticks out his 10 fingers towards the heavens. Amar ribono shel olam, galui v'yadua lefanecha, shiyagati be'eser etzbeotai batorah, v'lo neheneti afilu be'etzba ktana. Yihi ratzon milfanecha she'e shalom b'mnuchati. Yatzabat kol v'amra yavo shalom yanuchu al mishkevotam. A bat kol came out and said, "You're right, Rebbe." Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, one of the wealthiest men in the world, who had food all year round, money, fame, incredible power, and yet when he died and God agreed, I didn't benefit. When you're on the level of Rebbe, money is merely a tool. Is money bad or is money good? It all depends on how you use it. Fruit and vegetables all year round? All depends on how you use it. Power and honor? All depends. There's no good and bad. There's no Kodesh and Chol. In the Kodesh HaKodashim, it's all the same. Because in that place, and some people live a life of Kodesh HaKodashim, in that place, the clarity of how we use the world makes everything equal. And this may be the answer to our questions that we asked above. Once we are in the Kodesh HaKodashim, everything is Kodesh. Everything expresses Kedusha, even the love between a husband and a wife. We all know, for example, there are no curse words in the Torah. There are no subjects that are off limits. There are no subjects that are taboo. As long as it is done, and as long as it is spoken about in a Kodesh context. The non-Jews who destroyed the Beit HaMikdash did not understand that. We can have Kruvim, the very place to remind us of our connection to God. It's fine. It's all Kodesh. To them, Kedusha is the opposite of this world. Their holiest people refrain from getting married, refrain from owning property, refrain from getting married already. No wealth, no marriage, no owning property. That's all gross. That's all disgusting. That's all profane. That's all dirty. And to the Torah Jew who is searching and reaching and striving and yearning to get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's all about connection to God. It's all about seeing Kodesh in everything. That's why we have so much gold, perhaps, in the Mikdash. And this is what I mentioned earlier about the Kodesh HaKodashim. I'll just read it really quick. But I read this about Shir HaShirim, the Medrash, and the second to last source. Ein kol ha'olam kulo kedai kayom shenitna bo Shir HaShirim. The most important day in Jewish history, according to this opinion, is the day Shir HaShirim was given. Lama shekol haktuvim kodesh v'zeh Kodesh Kodashim. Here we go again. It's Kodesh Kodashim. When you're in the levels of Kodesh HaKodashim, then Shir HaShirim is the holiest book there is. Recently, not recently anymore, there was a translation by one of the major English translators of Tanakh. And if you open up that translation, you'll see Shir HaShirim, and the direct translation is the Nimshal, not the Mashal. You can, you know what I'm talking about? That every time it says woman, or every time it says man, or every time it says love, or every time it talks about body parts, it refers to the Medrash, the Nimshal. Hashem, Bnei Yisrael, Beit HaMikdash, Israel. Of course that's not wrong. But realize that they're skipping a step. The step is recognizing that when you're on the level of Kodesh HaKodashim, there is no difference. And the very last source from Bamidbar Rabbah, this is why, and this is our goal, of merging Shamayim Va'aretz, Asabo Shnei Kruvim, Shehem Chavivim Keneged Shamayim Va'aretz, Shaya Bahem Moshavo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach HaShchina Netuna Lema'ala, Mibet Kruvim, Shenetunim Mizeh Umizeh. The Kodesh HaKodashim in general and the Aron is literally merging Shamayim Va'aretz. Is there something profane in Shamayim? No. Is there something dirty in Shamayim? No. Is there something chol in Shamayim? No. Now, don't get me wrong. Today, in our world, we of course still are not there yet. But at least we've got a target. Our target is to get to the Kodesh HaKodashim so that we can ultimately see that there is no Kodesh and there is no chol. Separately, it's all Kodesh. This is a fundamental message in the way one looks at the world. Is the world terrible and people disgusting? Or the world can be terrible. The world can be amazing. People can be disgusting and evil. People also can be great. And the way one approaches the world perhaps is the way one can also define their direction in this world. They will be zoche to get to the level where we see Kodesh and Chol not as opposites, but as one unit of Kodesh. Erev Tov, everybody.